This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Rain of Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch. Claw. Up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
Let's open up that rave line. Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC has escaped the Groundhog Day existence and has ended the Helton era.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Reign of Troy Radio, coming to you on October 29th, Friday, episode 422. Switching it up because I'm your host, Alicia Daratola, and I'm here with my co-host, Michael Castillo.
Do we have a phone number or a Twitter account or any of that?
Well, I'm hosting, so let me do it in my own time, sir.
Okay, fine. All right.
Yeah, my host, Michael Castillo. Say hello to the people.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is Reign of Troy Radio, and we are on Facebook and Twitter and Omni Studio and Apple Podcasts and everywhere that you find a podcast.
I've heard, yes.
Yeah. We are on Spotify and all of those other places. And our phone number is
213-373-1USC.
Second What's Burn Show. You can't even let me do the whole intro to the to the phone number?
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, you've never had to do the lead-in where you join in for the 1USC as the only part.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So in case you hadn't noticed, we're switching it up over here. I am hosting this week because we've tried to podcast already this week and we couldn't get through it because a certain someone has a lingering cough.
So here's the thing that's frustrating. We've talked about this in Slack, and I was trying to explain to people, like, we go to record and then inevitably something happens, or we can't do it because we're sick or whatever it is.
Where I'm working.
And I feel like a hypochondriac. I feel like a crazy person that no one's going to believe us, blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, we go to record, and I had not been coughing all day until we go to start recording. And then all of a sudden, I just keep coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing. So our theory is that if I'm the host, I have to project my voice, especially early on in the episode.
And then you just lose it.
And then I lose it from there.
Yeah. So we're trying it a new way and we're searching things up and we'll see how it all goes.
Yeah. I got some water here.
Out of a Goodyear Cotton Bowl cup that we got from the Goodyear Cotton Bowl.
If you have misophonia, I hope you're not listening to me drink the water too much.
Yeah. But I mean, better to have the slight sip of you sipping water than the hacking cough that will get edited out, hopefully, if it pops up.
Yeah. So anyways, here we are a day before USC and Arizona. I don't want to be too hosty here.
Steal my hosting duties. Yeah, so here's how it's going to work, guys.
Okay. Go ahead.
The episode is already pretty late in the week, and we had already sort of decided that we're not going to spend a significant amount of time previewing games in a season that it ultimately does not matter. I mean, it matters to the players, I guess, because they still want a bowl eligibility. But let's be honest, like, this season is pretty much done and dusted in terms of competitiveness. So for a game like the Arizona game, like, normally we would have multiple pages in a Google Doc of research and stats and the whole shebang that we'd be doing. And we would be doing that because we want to inform you about the game and what to expect and all that. But you guys don't care about the game. We don't care about the game. If USC loses, then add that to the pile of disappointment that is this season. If USC wins, then it's Arizona. They haven't beat literally anyone for what is their losing streak at? 16 games? Or is it longer than that by this point? It's long.
It's lengthy.
Suffice it to say, it is long. So we're just going to wing it here and spend a little bit more time talking about the coaching rumor mill that's happening. We're going to do over-unders, and that'll just be our preview for the game. That, I mean, over-unders, the entire point is to highlight certain statistical things that we think are could be important for the game, and then we turn it into the game. So we're going to do over-unders and answer a little bit of a mailbag. But really, we're here just to talk. You talk a little bit more informally about what's going on around USC, and what's going on around USC realistically at this moment is just all the coaching rumors, every coaching rumor. The funniest of those is Jeff Fisher being interested in the job.
Yep. Jeff Fisher among others. This is one of those things where,
let's just first, before we get into the big picture stuff or our advice for how to handle all of these things, let's just do a quick rundown of the rumors that have actually come out. So we had Brett McMurphy reporting that Jeff Fisher is in the running, which, cough, cough, he's not. Mike Tomlin got mentioned by Carson Palmer, and he vehemently denied that was a thing. Jack Del Rio's been mentioned. He has also denied it. The normal sort of group of James Franklin, Matt Campbell, Dave Aranda have all been mentioned. It's just been pretty much everyone's name possible is getting thrown out there. And basically everyone has either denied or done the typical, like, whatever, I'm focused on Illinois or whatever bullcrap that coaches will do. So that's where we're at now. Michael, what is your message to the people about how to process all of these coaching rumors?
Don't be a sucker. Don't be a sucker. Yes. Don't be a vehicle for perpetuating these rumors. And I know that we are by mentioning them, and I don't like that. But I think for the sake of these things, in this instance, I think we sort of have to use this as an example. I think all the indications are that USC's search with Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna and those guys, as it's been for other searches for the assistants and whatnot over the last couple of years, have you heard rumors before guys have gotten hired? Not really, no, right? Like, so I don't know that there's this situation where you're going to hear all these leaks that are going to be legitimate. And what you end up hearing are leaks that come from agents, leaks that come from people who don't know anything, leaks that come from perspectives that are maybe warped or hopeful. Any of these things. And I'm not saying that necessarily misinformed. I think some people can be some people can be very in the know and still just not be on target with what is actually happening, kind of thing, right? Like, also, what a booster says can be completely different than what the administration is saying, which is what's different than what the athletic department is saying. So all I'm saying is use some common sense. And so many of these rumors, the ones that come out and that people react to are the crazy ones, like Jeff Fisher, like Mike Tomlin, which is not crazy because it would be bad, but crazy because it's off the beaten path, right?
Well, you're never going to voluntarily leave the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
I don't care if Alabama came calling. No Pittsburgh Steelers head coach would ever leave the Pittsburgh Steelers to go coach in college. I don't care what's going on with your quarterback, any of that kind of stuff. That's not happening. But let's talk about, like, the Carson Palmer situation. It is a really good example of a guy who ends up on a national radio show who gets asked about the USC job and throws out the names that he's thrown out. And, you know, people take that with a certain amount of cachet because it's Carson Palmer, except that if Carson Palmer is saying who he's hearing from USC, if the word is not coming straight from the mouth of Mike Bone or Brandon Sosna, don't believe that it's from anybody that has any sort of power, because I bet that Carson Palmer has had conversations with people in power or in the know at USC. But those people might be boosters. Those people might be board members. Those people might be any other thing. And they might have ideas of, I no doubt somebody thought, hey, Mike Tomlin would be great, wouldn't he? That doesn't mean that USC is actually pursuing Mike Tomlin. That doesn't actually mean that USC is interested. There's a lot of conversation in media circles about how everyone thinks that James Franklin is the guy. But like, where is that coming from? That's coming from people who have assumed that James Franklin's going to leave Penn State for every job that's come up over the last 4 years.
And it's never made any sense to us, the whole James Franklin.
Well, and I want to applaud Brady McCullough, who has put out a couple of articles in the last week. One of them, he's actually done really good work. He went to Ohio to talk to Luke Fickell and his family, or people around Luke Fickell and his family, and he came away feeling like it would be hard to get Fickell out of Ohio just because of the family stuff. And he's now published an article about James Franklin and all the reasons why he's dubious about the idea of USC pursuing James Franklin, who has off-the-field baggage that would not reflect well when it comes to USC in the situation that USC is currently in, between the Tyndale case and the Varsity Blues scandal, and then this most recent Greek row controversies situation where there's been allegations of rape and drugging and all sorts of things. I just don't know that, and I think Brady McCullough did a good job of breaking down all the reasons why it doesn't make a lot of sense to invite the baggage that James Franklin has for the coach that James Franklin is, who is undoubtedly an upgrade on Clay Helton, but he's not head and shoulders above the other candidates that are out there to justify bringing on that baggage along with the buyout that would be necessary to get him out of Penn State. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. No.
And also,
to say that USC isn't looking at him or that USC couldn't end up hiring him.
Sure.
But just because someone in the media says it's an open secret that James Franklin's going to end up at USC, do they have a direct line to Brandon Sosna or to Mike Bone? I highly doubt it.
Because what Penn State people might say could be different than what USC people could say, or vice versa. But the other thing that I would add in here, vis-a-vis James Franklin, and we're going to have that podcast that we keep teasing where we go through every single candidate and talk it out. But I think for me, the issue with James Franklin is that we know too much.
Yes.
And it is, it sort of feels unfair. Aside from the whole problematic thing that I think absolutely SC can't afford to be tied to those sort of things, especially when we talked about it with Urban Meyer and the Vanderbilt rape case, is something you can't turn your head away from.
It's ugly.
It's ugly. And even if you think... It's there, and I think the SC needs to be aware of it, just like they were aware of the stuff with Urban Meyer. And that when you're in a situation where you're paying millions and hundreds of millions of dollars for sexual assault misconducts on campus, you're probably not the best one to turn around and go pay millions of dollars for a head coach who's been tied to things that are not too dissimilar, right? Having said that, talking strictly from a very, very football perspective on James Franklin, I think that it's difficult because I think the problem is that we know too much. Because if you look at his resume on paper and from the beginning, and you look at where he was before Vanderbilt, at Vanderbilt, since, all that stuff, I think you look on paper and you're like, yeah, everything sort of makes sense. And then you go look at someone like a Dave Aranda and you're like, well, what is the knock on Dave Aranda? The knock on Dave Aranda is that he's young and he's only had 2 years, really a year and a half of head coaching experience.
And not even a year and a half because last year was a COVID season.
At least he coaches in Texas. That was a full season.
It was 9 games, though. Mm-hmm. Like,
longer
without
than
an offseason.
Yeah, I just... But not it, much experience,
it wasn't a
right?
conventional
There's not
season.
Much experience.
Yeah.
In general, he does not have much head coaching experience. So I think that where I think it's a little slightly unfair football-wise for James Franklin is that what you talk, you can talk up Dave Aranda and it's based on hopes. And whereas with James Franklin, we know too much. And I think James Franklin would be an upgrade from Clay Helton. But what is that upgrade? Like that upgrade compared to what fans want is not there. What fans want is the guy who's going to take SC to the playoff year in and year out. I don't know that James Franklin is that guy. I think James Franklin is someone who's probably going to win 10 games every year at SC and might be the safest bet on anyone on the planet to do it.
I think that's fair. That's the James Franklin thing. Safe bet, you'll win the Pac-12 once every 3 years.
But
at least.
is he going to win you that national title? I
do not think so.
I would not bet on that. So I think, again, I think with James Franklin, we know too much. I think we know too much that he wouldn't fail. And I think we know too much that he necessarily might not get over the hump because of the things we've seen at Penn State. And again, you know, then you can talk about the baggage stuff that could make him unhirable and probably should make him unhirable for a school like USC. So, yeah, it's all convoluted. All of this is for me to say is I know it's not fun, but I would not buy into anything you hear. And I would rather talk about candidates in the spirit of would they be nice if, rather than are they realistic because of this rumor I heard on this website from this guy who says that.
Well,
and maybe that's a little annoying because we could end up being talking about guys who are not realistic because maybe there's no, you know, kernel of truth that the athletic department is considering them or whatever. But I think it's a more fair way of discussing the coaches from our perspective than sitting here and being like, well, we've got to talk about Jeff Fisher because Jeff Fisher is was tied to this thing when we all know that there's no way in hell SC is going to hire Jeff Fisher.
No, but that's why I think that it's really important during the weeks that this is going to continue on to take every report, and the first thing you do when you see the report, ask yourself, and this can apply to not just USC coaching news, but all sports news, all everything. Your first question should always be, where is that coming from and why? Like, if there is news out there that Jeff Fisher is being linked to the USC job, look at it and think to yourself, who benefits from this link coming up? Does USC benefit from it, or does the coach benefit from it? The James Franklin connections, every time he gets mentioned as he's definitely the top candidate for USC and LSU, who does that benefit? Does that benefit USC or LSU to have that information out there that that's the guy they want? No, it benefits the coach. It benefits his agent. It benefits 1,000 other parties. Realistically, the less information that USC directly is sourced to, that, like, if I'm USC and I'm trying to make a hire, I don't want any of my preferences getting out. I don't want any news of who I want out there. So basically what I'm saying is I don't think Mike Bone is talking to people. So if you see a report about a coaching candidate, then chances are it's coming from someone outside of the inner circle at USC that's actually making that decision. And at that point, you look at it critically and you ask yourself, who does that benefit and why is it out there? And should I put any stake in this information? Frankly, unless it's Bruce Feldman reporting that USC is hiring the person that they end up hiring, like, I would completely disregard it. Not disregard it, because there are hints and clues and you can get a sense of the landscape, of the coaching landscape and all that, but just don't put stock in things. Like, don't buy into any of these reports, because the vast majority of them are coming from a source that is not from within USC.
Yeah. Or that has the ability to make the hire. Yeah. So I don't know. I think this is all, I know it's unsatisfying because we want to know who the next guy is going to be and how realistic are those things. I just think that from our perspective, I think it's easier to talk about Dave Aranda as if he is a candidate rather than waiting for there to be a rumor to be a for sure thing. And I get that, you know, like you look at Eric Bieniemy, right? And mm-hmm. I think we can talk about Eric Bieniemy, but we can also talk about it in the context of, well, he was one of the guys that Mike Bone fired at Colorado. So maybe not, but like to me that I'd rather talk about speculate about the maybe not for that reason rather than the maybe not because so-and-so said this about that on a message board kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
That's our little spiel.
Anyways, that's the spiel on the coaching coaches. Thing. Just, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it's not. And if it sounds like Jeff Fisher, it's not. All right. So let's move on to over-unders.
As our way of previewing the Arizona game.
Yes.
Which is on Saturday, tomorrow.
We are going to get a look at what we're expecting from USC Arizona on Saturday by playing our over-under game.
0-7 Arizona and 3-4 USC.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's yikes. Okay. So you're going over.
I'm feeling bold. Give me that over.
I'll go under. I got to take an under here. I got three unders to take.
I'm going
to
do an under here.
Right. Do you want to start or do I want to start?
I don't know. How do you want to do this?
All right. I'll start. Whatever. We're going to go big picture with the start. Okay. Here is the only stat you need to know about Arizona and Clemson in an incredible turn.
Clemson.
There are only two schools in FBS who have yet to score 20 points in a game. Against an FBS opponent in a game this season. Those two are the aforementioned Arizona and Clemson, which we could have a whole conversation about how Tony Elliott has taken his name out of the running and Clemson is mind-bogglingly
what
on offense?
How did Clemson, of all schools, get the offensive yips? You look back at it, you know, 15 years ago when SC had the streak, the 20-point streak, 63 straight games, an NCAA record in which they scored 20 points, and yet here we are, and Clemson and Arizona have gone like six games each this year without doing it.
Which Arizona is not so much a surprise because Arizona is that bad at this point.
It's a rebuilding year.
They're utterly rebuilding.
The new head coach. Yeah.
And to be fair to Arizona, I've now watched a couple of their games. They're not good at football, but I will give them a fair shake here.
It's not a lack of trying.
They try. Like, it's not that they're not playing. The thing that's frustrating about USC is you look at it and you say, like, are you guys even, like, here for this?
Right. Well, it's like we talked about before. They seem like early era Mike McIntyre, Montgomery.
Yeah, Mike McIntyre, Colorado.
Yeah, Mike McIntyre, Colorado.
They're trying. They gave Washington a game, and Washington's been a dumpster fire this year too. But Arizona has had yet to get a win, but it is not for lack of trying. So USC does need to be careful here because Arizona is not going to roll over and die prompting.
I think on one hand you can say, oh, well, they can't afford to lose to Arizona. And
it literally doesn't matter.
That's the irony here is, well, they could because this season, let's be completely honest, at this point has been a lost season for SC.
At the
same point, if SC wants to make a bowl game,
they have to win
this game.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts. You have to win this game. And if you do, you go 4-4 through eight games, and you have four games left, and you have to win two of those four, and those last four are ASU, UCLA, Cal, and BYU. I think you can talk yourself into potentially winning two of those, mm-hmm. of those four. If you lose this game, you have to win three of those four.
And that's not.
And there's no chance that you're winning three of those four.
No. But the good news is that you really only need to score 20 points, realistically.
True. SC is good at scoring 20 points, not 30 or 40.
Yes. So my over-under relative to that whole discussion is 19.5 points, and that is for Arizona to score. Will they finally break through and get that 20-point game out of the way? Win or lose that 20-point game. The problem here is that USC's defense outside of that first game against San Jose State has looked utterly vulnerable to every attack that they face.
Especially at home, three straight games allowing 40 points.
Yes. Now, Arizona is the worst offense they'll have faced since San Jose State. So maybe that's a good sign. But still, if Arizona was going to break through and get that 20-point game, it feels like they got a 50-50 shot here in this game.
Yeah, I think they do. I think for me, though, I have to take the under here. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think the ball's going to have the air taken out of it. One of my over... I'll make this my next over-under, so it'll lead into that talking point. But Arizona's a team that doesn't play games where it's this high-tempo, a lot of drives going back and forth kind of game. And I think because of that, you're going to end up in a situation where it's going to be inherently low-scoring. Which makes Arizona a team that's not Big 12 bad, right? Like they're not going to be like the Sonny Dykes Cal teams that were bad but still going to score 30 points and allow you to score 50. Like this isn't, they're not that kind of a bad team. So I think instead they're a bad team that's going to, you know, make you slog through it, but you're still going to have to slog through it and then hopefully be able to outscore them, which every team has done thus far. Yeah, give me the under. So under 19 or 19 and a half, you said?
19 and a half.
Yeah, give me the under on that.
Yeah. All right, so you take the under, I get the over.
All right, perfect. My first over under is 5.75 yards per carry for USC. Arizona, and this is strictly based on Arizona's defense. Arizona's defense is averaging 5.74, which is 10th in the Pac-12. Not good, right? Like, 10th in the Pac-12. However, in yards per game, Arizona is third in total defense, averaging 357.6 yards per game, which this is why, folks, do not put credit in total yardage stats.
Yeah.
Because they will lie to your face. Arizona, like the difference between being the third best defense in the conference versus the 10th on a per game versus per play basis is insane. Insane. But that tells you that they play games in which there's not a lot of plays in it. So they're going to give up a lot of yards per play. There's just not going to be that many plays in the game, which leaves the totals low. But this is a per play over under. So will USC eclipse 5.75 yards per play against Arizona?
5.57 yards per play.
5.75 yards per play.
I'm going to go over because USC is all about those empty calories. And I do think they will be able to move the ball against Arizona. If USC gets into trouble here, it'll be because the red zone issues pop up.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So I take the over on that one. And my next over under is 0.5 or not 0.5 if you're European.
British, yeah.
British. Turnovers for USC. So Arizona has failed to get a takeaway in 5 out of their 7 games. They've been put up a nothing burger on the takeaways. USC has yet to have a game without a turnover yet, though. So USC turns the ball over and Arizona doesn't get takeaways. Something's got to give in this game. Which way is it going? Is USC finally going to get that elusive zero turnover game? Or will Zona add their third turnover game?
I'll take the over, which says that SC will turn it over. Or
turn the ball over. Yeah. Okay.
Just based on the odds there, I think you're bound to have a fumble or an interception or a tipped interception or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's not a unsafe pick. However, like, you know, I think Keaton Slovis has been much better with the ball, or at least last week versus the previous weeks. So maybe he'll be a little bit better against Arizona if he is the quarterback.
Yeah.
Versus Jackson Dart. Dun dun dun. We'll see how that progresses. But give me the over. I see. I'll turn it over.
All right. You take the over. I get the under. Wait, you are taking the over. I get the under.
Yep.
What's your next one?
All right. 4.5 Gary Bryant catches. Why? Because the last four games, he has yo-yoed. He had five against Oregon State, two against Colorado, five against Utah, and then two against Notre Dame. It's gone 5-2, alternating back and forth. Now it is the Arizona game. He's on pace to get that 5 again, but will he? 4.5. Gary Bryant catches.
So I think that Arizona won't be able to stop Drake London. I think they will try, but I think they will be unable because no one can stop Drake London. 4.5 is a lot. I think I'm going to go under.
Okay.
Because I think there's a good chance he could have a good game and it's 4 catches.
Okay, I can see.
I like the bet that he would go 4 or 3 than 5 or 6.
Sure. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But that's a good line though. Like it could be real tight there.
I like your underplay too, because I think SC is Ben, you know,
they could.
This is a weird sentence to say, so hear me out. Outside of Drake London, they've distributed it pretty evenly. Now, I'm not saying that they've distributed evenly when you include Drake London. I'm saying if you take Drake London out, it's not like there's one guy who gets decidedly the second most.
No, we're seeing
the third most.
We're seeing a lot. We're seeing as much from Taj Washington and Malcolm Epps as Gary Bryant at this point.
Yeah,
they're just as likely to have 5 catches.
It's a scatter beyond Drake London, where you get a bunch of guys who could get an opportunity.
Who I just realized already has 1,000 yards this season.
Pretty strong, solid.
Yeah. So, Biletnikoff, go for it. All right, my last one is 75.5% USC touchdown rate in the red zone. So it's the big red zone question. And it's another one where USC is bad at something, but Arizona is also bad at the other thing.
Yep.
So Arizona has allowed touchdowns on 71.43% of red zone possessions on defense. USC has scored touchdowns on 55.17% of their red zone trips. So I'm giving USC a boost because Arizona's defense is not good, and if ever they were going to get to the end zone more often, it's this time.
And this is touchdown rate. This is not scoring rate.
This is touchdown rate.
Okay. Give me the under.
Because if it was scoring rate, here's a stat.
If it was scoring rate, I take the over.
Arizona has stopped exactly one drive this entire season that made it into the red zone from scoring points.
Yikes.
Once. Yeah.
Yikes. And that was when you're like, and that was in garbage time, and they took a knee instead.
Yeah, probably. I would not be surprised. But yeah. So you're taking, what are you taking on that?
I'm taking the under on the 75% touchdown rate.
Because USC,
I could see a thing where SC only gets in the end into the red zone like 2 or 3 times and settles for a field goal or two in those 2 or 3 times. And by that point, it's less than 75%.
And that could happen even if USC scores a bunch, because USC could score, you know, 50-yard touchdowns. And
they kick field goals from the 25, and that wouldn't count, but then score the touchdowns, the drive they get it. Yeah, anything can happen, but I would take the under.
All right, you take the under, I get the over. What is your final over-under?
All right, last one is 3.5 snaps by Jackson Dart's offense.
Oh, buddy.
Jackson Dart, does he get in there, and does he get in there for more than 3.5 snaps?
So earlier this week, I saw a quote from Dante Williams saying that Dart looks ready to go. So,
well, that's why I did not put the answer at 0.5.
Yeah.
3.5, which means there could be a special package for him. How many snaps would a special package get him? I don't know. And so you have to weigh the special package. You have to weigh the idea of what if he just replaces Keaton Slovis? What if he replaces him due to injury? Like, there's a million different opportunities here.
Yeah.
But 3.5 is the number of, or if SC runs away with this, at that point, do you want to use him?
That is, I do not think that Keaton Slovis will be benched this week. I don't think it will happen. But I am playing the odds big time here and taking that over big. That's because, as you already laid out, he could get in for garbage time. He could get in because of injury. He could get in because USC is scoreless at the half and they decide to make a change. He could get in for a number of with a special package. He could be the answer in the red zone. He could be a thousand different things. I think it's just more likely that he will see snaps than not, even though I think, like, if I had to put my money on it, like pass fail kind of situation, I'd probably say Slovis will start and finish the game. But I just think the odds are in the favor of the dart of the over there. So I'll take the over.
The way I'm looking at it, he has 5 games left in the season. Dart has 3 games of eligibility to play before burning a redshirt. But Arizona feels like the most likely to be able to get him in there.
If USC is ever going to have garbage time, it's going to be in this game.
Yes.
If USC,
it's not going to be against, I wouldn't bet on it being in any of the other games.
Yeah. Yeah. So you might as well just use him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So those are over-unders. That's good. We got through it. We informed the people about some things about Arizona.
You guys can play along too. Check the show notes and make your picks.
Mm-hmm.
Check us on Twitter as well, where you can make your picks from the links. Alicia, we got a couple of questions. So I wanted to get to those really quick before we wrap this up. One of them, let me hear.
Michael is currently pulling those up on his phone, which is why I'm not reading the questions.
Yes, here we go.
So here we go.
So SJ in Santa Barbara, how would you rank the Graham Harrell's offense compared to the gumbo offense of the Helton and T. Martin era?
This year or across the 3 seasons that we've experienced?
I was thinking about this in the shower the other day.
It's this, like, they're the same thing.
When I remember when Cliff Kingsbury was hired, and subsequently when Graham Harrell took over for him, the idea that, oh my God, all of SC's passing records are about to be smashed. Here we are in year 3. What records have been broken passing-wise? There are 2. One of them is the yards in a passing game that got bumped from, like, what was it, 494 to 515 from Matt Barkley's record to Keaton Slovis's record, 515 in 2019 against UCLA. And the other one was pass attempts, which I believe was 55. Tom Marinovich in the 1989 game at Notre Dame, which got topped 2 years ago by Keaton Slovis. And I want to say he had 57 against Oregon 2 years ago. Those are the only 2 records that have really been topped. And you can make a very strong argument that the only reason that those records were broken was because SC was in a situation where their top 3 running backs all got hurt at the same time and they had to throw the football, which coincidentally lined up with the only time that under Graham Harrell this team was consistently scoring, you know, 30, 40 points and moving the ball at will was when they went all in on the air raid. Ever since then, and even before then in that season, the Notre Dame game was really good, but the Notre Dame game, you know, sort of the start of the injury stuff a little bit, kind of, in the sense that they had to throw the ball late in that game. The point is that, how do you put this way? That we can't definitively say one is better than the other is a major indictment, and it shouldn't have taken losing 3 running backs to truly find your identity in the air raid and having their only success in the air raid for 1 month because of it.
I will go on record as saying Graham Harrell's offense is worse than the gumbo from T. Martin.
Okay, I will agree. And you know why it's worse?
Solely because he had been an offensive coordinator before.
And because we know that they're capable.
Because it's a complete failure of doing what you can do well. And I was frustrated as all hell with T. Martin and the gumbo and all that kind of stuff. But it never felt as just futile watching that offense as this offense feels right now.
2018 felt pretty bad.
2018. But 2018 had a true freshman quarterback who it felt like he was just pushing too hard. And it was frustrating. But the difference here is that that offense looked the worst under circumstances that were contributing to it looking the worst. This year, there is no excuse. The offensive line is doing fine. They're not great. They're barely, I'm not even going to say they're good, but they're not a dumpster fire. So they're not the thing that's holding USC back. The quarterback is a junior Heisman candidate coming into the season. They have a Biletnikoff candidate receiver. Keontae Ingram is a lovely running back. You should be doing more with the weapons you have.
Yeah, 100%. The rest of the questions we got are about specific coaching candidates, so I'm going to hold those off until we talk about the coaching candidates a little bit further. Also, we got an email from Andrew asking to hear the old theme from Rantro Radio, so we're going to add that in the intro.
The extra?
Extra. What's it called? Outro.
The outro. Yeah, the outro. Yeah,
the extra.
The extra.
Yeah, which you'll probably listen to already right now. Yeah. So enjoy our old music.
Yep.
And we love you guys. Thanks for listening. As always, sorry we're a bit late and a dollar short on this episode. I'm telling you, I'm frustrated as you guys are.
If anyone has any, pro tips for dealing with a...
Chugging honey has
with
not
a,
worked.
With a persistent cough that I think is allergy related. He rejects that it is allergy related.
Allergies are bullshit. I have no explanation for this.
We've tried. He's tried the honey. We have an inhaler that he has tried that kind of helps, but not. It doesn't help enough.
It's just frustrating because I haven't coughed all day, and then we record this, and we had to stop like 8 times for cough.
All right, that's going to do it, though. Yeah. All right. See you Thanks, guys. And
oh, we'll... game prediction. Sorry. SC, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say SC loses because I haven't predicted
that would be
it
fun.
Yet. SC loses 17-16.
I'm going to say USC wins 30, an ugly 31-22.
Ooh, they're fully taking that over for Arizona.
Yeah. All right, guys. Catch you later. See you.
See you.